We're here on KSOM as we take a look back at the high school basketball season, certainly at the girls' state tournament. Big highlight there is St. Albert of Council Bluffs as they crack through some tough competition in Class 1A, and they win their first ever state championship. It took two overtimes in the championship game to do it, but they got it done. And the head coach for the Saints of St. Albert, Dick Wettengel, joins us now here on KSOM. And, Coach, congratulations on the win. And it's maybe been a long time coming for St. Albert. They had a number of good teams back in the late 90s, and you've seen three state tournament appearances now and in 2020, 2024, 2025. How's it feel to climb to the top of the mountain?
Oh, it's fantastic. I still am kind of feeling like I'm on top of the mountain. So it's just a great feeling to know that, you know, when you work this hard and, you know, that sometimes it can be rewarded. You know, the last, like you said, the last three out of the last 6 years, we've been able to make it to state. And, you know, each time I think we've done a little bit better. And so that just shows, you know, that our program is going forward.
Well, yeah, first round loss in 2020, made it to the semis last year, lost to North Lynn. You know, in Class 1A, it seems like it's been Noel Fonda, Bishop Garrigan of Algona, North Lynn, maybe even throw in a Springville. They kind of preluded Noel Fonda's run. How difficult is it to crack that brick wall of those teams, which seem to be dominating the tournament each year?
It is hard to crack that. You know, I consider all of those schools you mentioned kind of the blue bloods. You know, they're the ones that are established. They're the ones that are there year in and year out. Usually you're going to get two of those four schools mentioned in a state championship game. I mean, that's how it's been for several years now. So to kind of crack that code, I think, says a lot about our girls and our program.
Yeah, I mean, you beat Garrigan and you beat Noel Fonda back-to-back games. I mean, that's not easy.
No, it isn't. And then the other piece of that, too, is, you know, beating Noel Fonda twice in the same year. I don't know how many schools can say that.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, not many. You could probably count them on one finger. For sure. but what do you feel like was so special with this bunch of girls? What set them apart? What made them win a title?
Well, there's a few things that they have done over the years, I think, that put them in this position. Number one is, you know, not a lot of people realize the number of hours that it takes, the number of days and weeks and just the commitment, you know, that it takes to get to that level. There's a lot of unseen hours that people don't realize. And our girls have put that time in. I mean, they have a passion for basketball and it's important to them. And that's, I think, the first piece where it starts. And then, you know, I would definitely say that the second piece with these guys is just the camaraderie, the closeness, the chemistry, the bond, the unity, whatever you want to call it, that they have among each other. This was about as close a group as I've had in a long time. Last year's group was really, really close, just very similar. This year's group just was kind of off the scale with that. I mean, these kids, their parents should be proud of, you know, whether we want it or not, their parents should be awfully proud of the product that they're putting out there. Their character is unbelievable. They're great kids. They are so inclusive in our community. Just the way that they present themselves and take kids in and make people feel good. You know, we a couple of times this season, because of our numbers, having 12 kids on the floor or on our team, you know, there were days like if I had kids hurt or, you know, if I thought I needed some extra bodies to practice, we would have our eighth grade girls come in. And, you know, sometimes that can be intimidating, but these kids just make them feel at home. it's just the way that they're, you know, made up. I can't say enough about their character. They're just great, great kids.
Abel Underwood was clearly your leader this year, led you in points, total points per game, and she was captain of the all-tournament team. Or Ryan was also a sophomore, was named all-tournament, so you have both of those coming back next year. What can you say about these two players that were just exceptional talents and led the team, and not even they weren't even seniors?
Well, you know, again, that shows kind of their dedication, you know, to their craft. Those two kids absolutely love basketball. Ava herself will be in the gym every morning during the summer. She's in the gym every morning. This time of year, she'll go to the local YMCA here at 6:30 in the morning and work on her game on her own. And, you know, it's dedication like that that separates her. And Maura's very close. I mean, Maura and her family have a little court on a barn in their property. So, you know, she's got a couple of sisters and a brother. I think they probably have some pretty good games out in that barn. And, you know, they just grow up loving basketball. And both those kids, by the way, I coached their dads. They were part of my state runner-up teams in 93 and 94. So it's no coincidence, you know, that those kids, that, you know, they're bred for basketball. I mean, that kind of in their blood. And, you know, those two kids were on runner, their dads were on runner-up teams in the 90s there. So just really, really special families and really special kids.
Right. And you have three seniors, two of them starters, Peyton Johnson, Ellie Monahan are the two starters. Kirsten Piskorski came off the bench for you. What can you say about these graduating seniors? That what a way for them to go out.
Well, I couldn't ask any more from what those three kids gave this year. I mean, they gave everything they had. Peyton, honestly, was a big surprise to us this year. You know, we coming into the year, I wasn't 100% sure if she'd end up being a starter or not. You know, it was pretty wide open. And she held that spot, you know, from day one. And, you know, we had some talks before the season and kind of what she needed to do to stay on the floor and to contribute for us. And she listened. And she really, you know, practiced what we asked her to do. And, you know, she was just kind of some unheralded things for her. She was so much better on defense this year as a senior and just helped us so much in that realm. And then, you know, just her ability to not only knock down some threes, but she really got good at driving the ball to the basket and, you know, trying to hit sometimes a runner or that, you know, left-handed bank shot that she has. But oftentimes, you know, kicking it out to a three-point shooter out on the perimeter. So she really added a new dimension, you know, to our team there as a starter. And then Kirsten Piskorski, without a doubt, one of our best bench players ever. Her energy was tremendous. She led our bench. You know, people don't think much about that. Those kids that sit and maybe don't get as much time as everybody else, what they contribute. You sometimes just go back and look at the game and you watch our bench. She is tremendous how she led our younger girls on the bench and the energy that she gave. And it's in support of all those girls that are out on the floor. And it's rare, you know, these days it's rare for a senior. A lot of times they won't come out if they're not starting or playing. And you know, Kirsten's minutes were limited. I got her in games when I could. And you know, the most valuable person on our team in terms of our culture was Kirsten Piskorski.
Hmm. Wow. That says a lot. Good for her. I mean, you don't have to necessarily be a starter to be a contributor.
That's right.
And it's not about starting. Some people get caught up in that. What was the road like just through the conference? I mean, the Hawkeye 10 was tough this year. Shenandoah, Harlan, Atlantic, Lewis Central was pretty solid. Clarinda and Kemper, you know, they pretty much played hard and they were all gunning for you throughout the season, and you just simply were able to take every game.
Well, we maneuvered our way through it. It, you know, certainly is never easy, I can tell you that, because like you say, there's a lot of good basketball teams there. And, you know, with your own Atlantic team there, you know, we had to face them twice, and the same thing with Harlan. And both those teams, I thought, were really good teams this year. And they gave us, you know, everything we wanted when we played them. And then you look at Shenandoah, the same thing. We, you know, one of the better years that they've had, a great center, great freshman guard that came in and played with them. And then really when we played them, the one that probably hurt us more than either of those two was the Denton girl on the outside, the senior guard. She had a great game against us. You know, but any of those games, Lewis Central included, you know, that's what toughens us up for tournament time. You know, I like playing up in schedule. I think it rewards you come tournament time. And there's a lot of years, you know, we may not have that glowing record, but by going through the rigors of that schedule, it prepares us for tournament. And that's where, you know, you see your payoff or your dividends.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, Hawkeye 10 is a unique conference because it does have schools sprinkled from different classifications. So for the smaller schools, it could be a benefit if you play a tough schedule. It helps you, and your record might be a little bit deceiving when you get into the playoffs. Of course, nothing deceiving about your record, Coach. Wouldn't you like to have a couple minutes back in that Carroll game to, you know, finish undefeated?
Well, you know, you sure would. But, you know, we look at that game, too, as it benefited us more than you think. Even though we lost, we really, really learned a lot, you know, from that game. You know, I told the girls, you know, the day after when we met and got ready for practice, I felt as bad as anybody. I just thought, you know, for a coach who normally is kind of on top of his game, I was not that night. You know, I wish I could have that last minute and a half, 2 minutes back, because we just did some things uncharacteristic. I didn't have them ready in some spots. And, you know, I just told them that's not going to happen again. And we learned from that. And I think that helped us throughout some other games, you know, late in the season when we would have close games, because I thought we sure performed better, you know, when the game was on the line in the late minutes.
So fast forward to the championship game. I mean, you're playing Noel Fonda, which is used to playing in championship games, and your team certainly not. What, you know, prevailed in the end in a close double overtime game against the Mighty Mustangs there of Noel Fonda? I mean, what do you think helped your team in the end? Were there key moments where kids shined?
Well, you know, definitely there were some key moments. You know, I can mention a few of them. You know, in the regulation time, you know, at the end, you know, we're down two with less than a minute to go, and Newell Fonda has the ball. And I'm trying to decide, you know, how soon we may have to foul, you know. So I'm getting ready, you know, to kind of figure out the signal if I want them to foul or not and send them to the free throw line. Because if you do that, then that changes the complexion of the game, you know, if they get up there and hit a free throw or two. And so, you know, where we got fortunate there was Henders came driving down in the middle there, and Ava Underwood ties her up. So instead of having a foul, we got a jump ball, and we just happen to have possession arrow in our favor. So now we get the ball back, and there's probably 30 some seconds on the clock, and we're pretty darn patient on offense. You know, I'm just get the best shot you can out there. And Eleanor Coughlin finds a little seam and drives through the middle and, you know, shoots a layup that kind of circles a rim twice and drops in and ties the game. You know, so that was a big key right there, just that sequence. And then, you know, they still have 6 seconds on the clock, take a timeout, you know, throw the ball to, you know, Hinders takes it out, gets it to the guard. Brabeck throws it back to her, and she's racing up the court like a locomotor, like she is. She is just an unbelievable talent. And, you know, I have two kids kind of at the basket, you know, ready for her, because I told our kids the ball's going in her hands. You know, I had no doubt who was going to take that last shot for them. And, you know, and so she goes through the lane pretty hard and you know, shoots one, and I think is trying to draw a foul. And I thought the referees did a great job. They didn't, you know, they called, you know, that particular play like I thought it should have been called, and she doesn't hit the shot, and we go into that overtime then. You know, and then in that first overtime, we take a 5-point lead right away. Yeah, I really started feeling good about that, but about 30 seconds later, it was tied again. So, you know, we had our work cut out for us again, and, you know, that one ends up, I believe, in that first overtime is when Hinders fouls out with about a minute and a half left to go in there. And then we survive a last second shot by, you know, their little guard Brabeck in the corner. I believe she takes a three and it doesn't go down and, you know, right at the buzzer. And so now we're headed to double overtime. And, you know, the second overtime was a little scary at times. I think we came out, maybe turned the ball over a couple times, withstood a couple of shots by them. But, you know, Ava had a great game by rebounding. I think she probably pulled a couple down there in the fourth quarter. And so we get to a possession finally with about a minute left where, you know, one of our girls finds Molly Wise kind of out on the wing and she buries a three. And then, you know, that ends up really being a ball game. I think, you know, we come down and hold them, and then Maura Ryan gets fouled. She goes to the line, hits both. And then they come down, you know, a few minutes or a few seconds later and end up hitting a two to close it back to three. But, you know, their last shot there to tie the game in double overtime, with us being up by three, we knew they had to go for a three-pointer. And I had no doubt at that point who that shot was going by too. And so, you know, the instructions were to be covering the Seavers girl really, really tough in that sequence. And Allie Monahan just defended her beautifully during that time and ends up blocking her shot and grabbing the rebound, and it's game over. So, you know, you just listen to the names I mentioned right there.
Sure.
I mean, there's several names that, you know, that had a piece in that victory there when it was really on the line. And that's how our team has been all year. You know, it's just it's the depth and the balance of this team. I think if you go back and look at bench points from that game or bench points during the whole tournament, I guarantee you every one of those three games is heavily in our favor. And that speaks to our depth. That was a big key to why we won that tournament.
Well, yeah, it's not just about the five. It's about everybody on the team. And sometimes depth can be a huge advantage. And that's what helped you in the end. So when it all said and done, what does this mean to you, to your team and to your program and to your school to come away with this, something that's never happened there at St. Albert?
Well, it was such a great experience. You know, I think our kids are somewhat still in a little bit of disbelief and just, you know, can't believe, you know, that they really accomplished this and got that done. I'll tell you what, coming home Sunday to a kind of a motorcade procession to come into town and have a lot of fans in our parking lot greeting us when we got back and kind of a mini pep rally there, that was so special to the girls. And then Monday, you know, toward the end of the school day, they had the whole school, not just the junior high school, but they had all them elementary kids in the gym too, to, you know, kind of have a big final pep rally for our girls. And it's just so exciting. There's so much excitement in that community and so much just pride really in these girls being able to accomplish what they did this year. It's great. It's just a great moment.
Well, Coach, I really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to share that moment, those moments with us. And it was a great season for St. Albert. No doubt you're going to be a tough team to beat next year as well with talent coming back. Again, congratulations. Appreciate your time. And enjoy the offseason. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for the interview. I appreciate your coverage. And we appreciate you, covering St. Albert this time. It's just a great moment in our history.
Dick Wettengel, head coach for St. Albert girls basketball, the 1A state champs, joining us here on KSOM.